Hey, everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. Just as we saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach and our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Mitch.
David.
I have a question for you.
Yep.
I don't understand, and I don't know if I've missed something or what. So, Obama is president. He has Joe Biden as vice president. Joe Biden goes to Ukraine to set up a bunch of deals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Which turn out to, we think, be like money laundering, what espionage, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay? Russia attacks Ukraine. Okay? About right before this, we find out that Hunter Biden, Joe Biden's son, has been getting paid to work for a business in Ukraine that he doesn't pay taxes on.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets all these charges and blah, 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 and this and that and all this other stuff. Meanwhile, the war is still going on there. Biden gets elected. I know my timeline's a little messed up. Biden gets elected. Says he's not going to pardon his son. Pardons him a couple days ago and is getting crushed, by the way.
Right.
Does he pardon him because he's worried that they're going to look into this tax stuff more and that Obama and Biden are going to get in trouble? Is he doing it just because it's his kid and he doesn't want his kid in trouble? Like,
nobody's above the law, remember? He said that.
I know. That's my point. It's so insane,
Dave,
to me.
You know the answer.
No, I don't.
You do.
So,
like, I know what I think is the answer.
I don't know my way around presidential pardons. Me personally, I don't know about you.
They're over everything.
I have escaped being pardoned by the president so far in my life. But I'm under the impression that once a president pardons somebody, it like closes the doors for anybody else to be able to look into it in the future. And like the statute of limitations is immediately gone and all that
stuff.
And
he made it for like a decade. Like he's pardoned for this decade.
Yeah. So
like what? I mean, when people say,
if it walks like a duck and it sounds like a duck and it quacks like a duck, chances are it's a fucking duck.
I don't understand how people on the left can be like, no, these are our two guys. Everybody else is lying and they're pulling. You guys are brainwashed and we're not brainwashed. And we know, how do they see that stuff and not go, man, something looks fishy.
Yeah.
This is fucked up. Yep. And not even, they're just like, no, it's fine. Don't worry about it. Don't look over here.
Yeah.
Don't look behind the curtain.
Yeah.
It's like, man, like, isn't it obvious?
Yeah.
I think what bothers me most is the fact that our country has become, like, we've always known it was super corrupt,
mm-hmm.
like since the 60s, like we've known, right?
Yeah.
But like to the point where it's out in the open and other countries are like, okay, you guys are pieces of shit.
Yeah.
Now we know it. Yeah. And then people are still
the downfall of the two-party system.
And they will just defend the shit out of it.
Yeah.
Regardless. And then you get this guy, Donald Trump, that comes in and is like, hey, guys, this system is so corrupt and so bullshit, we've got to burn it down. And people are like, no!
Yeah.
We want big government to
govern
fuck our
harder.
It doesn't make any sense to me, man. It's insane.
We had a customer.
I've been saying insane a lot lately because it is.
We had a customer last week that, you know, customers, they'll get on random topics and just start talking about anything. And
people aren't comfortable with silence.
Yeah, we'd spent a couple of days at this customer's house, and so he felt fairly comfortable with this. And he's like, let me ask you a question. I'm not going to go political, but...
But I'm about to be political.
So that means you're about to go political.
Yeah. It's like just like when someone says, I'm not a racist, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was like, you seem pretty middle of the road. And I'm like, yeah, you could say that. I told him, I prefer to refer to myself as politically homeless. And he goes, all right.
That means libertarian for any of you that don't know.
and so then he goes, you know, what do you think about all this stuff going on? I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I can't really affect change in a lot of it, so I don't give it too much thought. And he goes, well, I used to love Elon.
I thought it was great, everything that he does. But now that he's buddies with Trump, I can't stand the guy. And I ask him, I'm like,
has anything changed?
I said, so what about Elon did you love? Oh, I loved his innovation. I loved his drive. I loved his success. I loved everything. And I go, okay, why do you not love that anymore? Like,
yeah, the things that you loved didn't change.
Yeah. Like,
it's like the bumper sticker on the Teslas now. We bought this before we knew Elon was a douche. It's like, what?
Right.
Like, what sense does that? The Tesla is still doing the job that you wanted it to do.
Right.
Like, what? Is this high school?
Yeah.
I think I've realized that a lot of people on the left just think life is high school.
Yeah, they haven't gotten out of it.
Well, they make me feel bad about myself, and so I just can't be a part of it.
Have you seen the sex strike that's going on?
Sex strike?
All these women are like, we're done fucking.
That's the... what's the HB move, H2, whatever movement? Whoa.
So who is striking? Obviously women.
Extreme leftists.
Oh, good. We don't want them to procreate anyway.
Well, and
good.
Look at the ones that are striking.
Are they all like rainbow hair and 500
pounds? 350 pounds, blue hair. Yeah.
The only guys disappointed.
Anybody's noticing this.
The only guys disappointed are big black guys. They're like, man, I love that. Me some white bitch fat ass.
Yeah. I mean, it's like if going to Mars is an innovation, I don't know what it is to that guy.
Right.
I mean, so what did he say?
You
just kind of slowly turn the topic off?
I kind of got the topic because I don't want to talk about that with customers.
You're trying to work. You're like, I got shit to do.
Dude, I'm putting in a Pushmatic breaker right now. And I don't know if you know anything about Pushmatic breakers, but they literally screw to the bus bar live. And your screwdriver is energized. And he's trying to talk about Elon Musk. And I've got a screwdriver in his panel.
You know how you... get around that?
Yeah, you just go, geek!
No, you turn it the fuck off and put the breaker in.
Nah.
Well, I see you being
good. Then the guy's about to reset his clocks. Who gives a shit?
Well, I mean, I see your point there because it's just like the coworker that's like, they'll come to you and like, oh, you can tell me anything. I won't tell anybody else. It's a similar thing with the customer. They'll be like, oh, you can, you know, what do you think politics-wise? And then you come to find out like a week later.
You don't ask those questions. Smart business owners do not get involved.
Yeah.
Like if a customer engages you, you just know.
Yeah.
You just,
it just becomes Switzerland. Yeah. Stay middle of the road.
Yeah. You know, you can, speaking of screwdrivers, you can get a commercial electric set that's plastic all the way down to the end.
No, I got it. Yeah.
Okay.
We're good. I've got a screwdriver in his panel touching the bus bar at that moment.
Hey, that's how I kicked a 200 amp off one time.
Yeah.
I touched the fucking screwdriver to the cabinet and it kicked the 200, not the main right there, the disc 200 outside.
Yeah.
It's one of those moments where you like grab your nuts and your nips and you're like making sure everything's still attached. You're like, that was scary as shit.
You grab your nuts off the floor and your nips off the ceiling.
Yeah. The customer comes down and goes, is everything all right?
Yeah.
Like, cause all she heard was an explosion and
comes down by candlelight
screaming. Yeah. Everything's off. I think we're good. Just had a little mishap, you know?
Yep.
Like, oh shit.
Have you seen that video where a guy's working on a breaker and I guess a buddy or someone behind the wall just slaps the wall and dust goes everywhere. And the guy like takes whatever, I don't know if it was like
just walk away real slow.
He throws like a screwdriver or something at the wall and like sticks right in the wall. He's so mad.
Dude.
I've seen an old, like this is one of the original viral videos. This is 15 years old probably. And it was probably filmed on a camcorder.
Most good porn is.
Yeah. No, they're in like a college dorm and they keep picking on this guy. And you can tell from the video, they pick on this kid a lot.
Yeah.
And he finally snaps and he's like doing something with scissors and he snaps and he turns around and chucks the scissors at the guys that are picking on him. And then the guys kind of turn around for a second and they turn back around and they're like, oh my God. And the scissors are like to the handle deep in this dude's forearm. Like, perfect throw. I bet they've never messed with that kid ever again.
No, they were like, dude, don't fuck with Johnny B down the hall. Like,
seriously. Like the video cuts off with like, don't tell the resident assistant.
Yeah, if you don't want like the RA. Yeah. Dude, with the RA coming down.
That's all you have to do is like people, they'll put up with like months and years worth of being bullied. Like, dude, all you got to do is act crazy one time.
Yeah, one time.
That's what I'll teach my kids. Dude, all you got to do is be badass crazy.
It's like growing up with siblings and you beat up your brother and you're like, you're fine. You're fine. Walk it off. Don't tell mom and dad.
Yeah. Yeah. What happened?
His arm is...
I punched my brother in the back one time. He was the best he still is the best instigator ever.
Yeah.
Like, he was not touching you, not touching you, not touching, like, all, like, for hours.
Yeah.
And it never fazed him. Like, it didn't bore him or anything. So he's just, and you could see it. One time I punched him in the back and he laid on the floor yelling, "I can't see. Yeah. I can't see. I'm blind. I can't see." And I'm like, "You're fine." Like, he was making it up, obviously. Yeah. Like, my dad comes in, he's like, "What happened?" I was like,
"He fell. I don't know."
Like, I punched him and he's on the floor, he still screaming. He's screaming, "I can't see. I can't see." Dude, I'm like,
I kicked my sister one time when I was little and my dad came in like, "What happened?" I'm like, "Well, I just raised my leg and then my foot hit her," and she just kind of came forward like,
"So you kicked her in the face, you little shit." "Yeah, Dad, I kicked her in the face."
But just she's being a real bitch.
Me and my brother were fighting one time and he was trying to break into my room, and so I put my foot up on the bottom of the door to like block the door close.
Yeah. Can't get past that.
He's pushing so hard, my foot goes through the door.
Oh.
and so then my parents come upstairs and they're like, "What's all this?" You
your
know,
your poor parents.
And my brother's he kicked a hole through his door. I'm like, "Bullshit." So, I don't even know whatever came of that.
That's Brian.
Yeah.
He kicked a hole in his door. Look at it. He was messing with me.
This is the same guy that got caught behind a car. Like, he's like 14. He got caught hiding behind a car with like 18 rolls of toilet paper. And the cop goes, what are you doing?" And my brother goes, "Can a guy get some privacy around here?" Yeah.
But that is your brother.
That's him.
"I'm taking a shit here, cop."
Yeah.
"Just run, man. Just run." Yeah. "They don't have cameras. Run."
They didn't have cameras back then.
Oh, my. Dude, if they did, can you imagine?
I know
it's cliche. People say it all the time. If they had cameras back then, no, seriously.
Yeah. We got away with a lot of shit.
No, seriously. We'd have been like in jail.
Yep.
Like working on the side of the road in an orange jumpsuit, paying off debts because we had no money.
Yep.
Oh, the good old days.
All right. I got a question for you, Dave.
Okay.
Well, actually, I got a funny story for you first.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Another one.
Okay. So, how many times can I say okay in a row?
Danielle
okay.
goes out Sunday night to a girls' night thing at this like holiday-themed pop-up bar.
Okay.
It's kind of a new trend.
Are you telling me the truth right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's kind of this, am I telling you the truth?
Well, I don't know if you're like trying to push me, you know.
Oh, no. It's like this new trend. They have these holiday themed pop-up bars. Like the Chiefs have one. They did it for the first year last year and we're doing it again this year.
Yeah. There's one at the, Paragon Sports Complex where Layla plays soccer at.
Yeah.
They got the holiday tree there now. They've moved it off of the road to that. Yeah. They have one there.
And so you can like call and make reservations.
It's just a plastic tent where you pay a lot of money to drink cheap booze.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, this one's at least indoors. And they have a whole bunch of these leg lamps and stuff like that. It's just all these holiday themes. And they've got Christmas movies playing on in the background, like Elf and Christmas Vacation and stuff.
My wife loves Elf.
So Danielle's there with like four or five other girlfriends or whatever. And they're all having fun and everything. And Danielle's like, she notices the Christmas movies playing on the TVs and they got Christmas music playing on speakers and stuff. And then Danielle looks up and she just goes speechless. And all the friends are like, what's wrong? And she can't even talk. And the girls are like, say something. Like, what's wrong? And Daniel just points at the TV. And all the girls turn around. Full-fledged hardcore porn on the TV in the Christmas bar. And all the girls go speechless. And then they, like, look around to the servers. And the servers are, like, glancing up at the TV and then just getting back to work. Like,
yeah, they don't want to blow the whistle. They're just like, don't
say. That's just Frank in the technology room again. You know?
I have so many questions. Was it?
Hardcore girl on top.
Those were not my questions. My questions were, was it like an all woman bar, like where only women go?
No, it was
just a whatever.
Just people, but like Danielle's friend.
They were just girls.
Girl that she went to Seattle with.
Okay.
Gotcha.
She runs a nonprofit to help. She runs a nonprofit to help. Like women, it's called like Hot Mess Moms or something like that. It's for like single moms that need a hand.
This story's starting to make a lot more sense.
And so this was like we've donated to their thing. We donated more, I think, this year than anybody. And so this was her putting together like a girls' night with all the people associated with that little charity thing.
Interesting. Okay, so continue with the story. So, like, what happened?
Well, Danielle's texting me before all this. She's texting me and she's like, "This place is cool."
I hit camera on video and then I'm now panning the room to see reactions.
Yeah. So she's like, "This place is cool. We need to come here for date night." And so Danielle made reservations for date night. And then she comes home and
tells
me all this. And then today, date night's tomorrow night. And so today I'm like, "Oh yeah, we're going to that pop-up bar thing tomorrow." And she was like, yeah, maybe they'll play the porno again. She's like excited about it. And I'm like,
did it go off? Oh, like, or did it just play a whole hour?
It was on for a couple of minutes and then it just flipped back to Christmas music.
Yeah. Some dude in the back's like got his phone. He's like, you want to see this?
Hey, if you like what you're hearing on The Void and you want even more info, we just started a mentorship program specifically for trades professionals to start their business or to get their business to an incredibly healthy position. So if you'd like more info, click on the link in the description of this show.
Hey,
somebody had their Bluetooth on.
Watch it. Yeah. Hey, you want to see something funny?
That's boop, like, boop. Have you ever seen the memes or the videos of the service riders at like car dealerships working on somebody's car while somebody's watching movies on their phone in the lobby and their phone's still Bluetooth connected to the car.
Shit.
So they pull the car into the car bay and it's like porno sounds. Obviously the guy sitting in the lobby watching porn, what he thinks the sound's off, but it's blaring it through his truck speakers. So, yeah.
You got to kill that Bluetooth.
I know. Yeah.
You got to kill that Bluetooth, especially if you got kids, they got their earbuds.
Yeah.
They got their
you
little,
never know what
you never know what's on.
To.
You never know what is on.
Yeah.
Lesson learned, Austin.
Well, no, speaking of big mistakes,
I had a friend in college that he worked at Best Buy, like repairing people's laptops and stuff. And
oh my God, I couldn't imagine that.
Dude, he made a Facebook post one time and he just said, please close out your porn before you send your laptop in.
Right.
Like he was. And
for those that are listening, just remember, a deleted browser history says more than anything else.
No comment.
Let's move on.
I don't delete my history. I just, yeah, whatever.
I just don't search anything that I would be ashamed of. So.
Like, we all know, no, that's a fucking lie.
I search some weird ass shit, but I'm not ashamed of any of it. You get Danielle and I on date night. Some of the stuff we start talking about, and I'll start arguing, and it's like, search it up.
Yeah, hit the Google machine. Let's find out what it says.
Come to find out, that insect does have both male and female parts.
Like, oh, my God.
You never know what we talk about.
You guys
got
to get something else to talk about.
Your poor FBI agent that's assigned to you guys.
I know, yeah. My FBI agent is like, this guy's a fucking loser.
No, he's quit. He's quit.
He probably got pulled into HR's office. Like, what are you doing?
They rotate guys. Yeah. They're like, hey, you can only, it's like going to the kill room at Allwells or something, like where they kill the cows.
Yeah.
You can only be the kill guy for like 3 hours because then you're insane.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. Your FBI agent's got to be rotated out every 60 days.
Cramming pneumatic bolts through cow skulls.
Cash Patel gets the FBI and he fires your FBI agent. And he's like, oh, thank goodness.
Yeah. That Allwells was crazy. They would, like, the hogs would come in and they'd tase them.
Mm-hmm.
So they tase them and they knock them out. They tie their legs up and they literally cut their throats to kill them.
Yeah.
There's no shooting, no nothing. They just pulled a 55-gallon barrel over and set it down in there and filled it up with, like, it'd be half full of blood. Like, oh my God.
Dude, I've told you the story
could you imagine doing that all day?
I've told you the story about us working in a forensics lab, right?
No.
Forensics lab calls up and they're like, our drain's clogged. And we're like, cool. And at this time, I thought forensics lab was like a science lab.
Yeah, like we're running DNA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, this is like pre-morgue or the morgue.
It's the autopsy lab.
Yes.
Ugh.
And so I get there.
What's clogged up the drain? I think that's a finger.
I get there and they're like, yeah, it's the drain's back in the lab room. And I'm like, cool.
Can you show me where the fuck that is?
Yeah, I'm like kind of a science geek, right? So...
Yeah,
let's
go
to the lab room.
Yeah,
right?
You are a little bit.
And maybe I'm not smart at science, but I'm inquisitive.
Yeah.
And as I'm like walking through the double doors, they're like, you don't have a queasy stomach, do you? And then it like hits me.
And you do.
Yeah.
I know where I'm at
and
now.
And there is an 89-year-old woman, naked as the day she is born.
Oh, God.
And they've got this thing under her back to prop her up. She's on her back on the table.
They've got this, like you like them.
Yeah. They've got this thing under her back to like open her stomach up more. And she is cut from like throat to groin.
Oh, my God.
And all of her guts are laying on the table.
Oh, my. Why? She's 89.
I don't know.
You didn't ask?
I know.
I'd have been like, why are you cutting that old poor old broad open?
And anyway, so I'm like, so what's clogged? And they're like, the toilet. And I'm like, there's a toilet in here? And they're like, yeah, that's how we get rid of all this fluid. And there's a valve. The tables have these troughs that run around them. And there's a valve on the bottom of the table. So they'll hold all the liquid and they can weigh. They know the tear weight of the table.
Yeah.
So they can weigh the liquid before and after they dump it and add to their stats, right?
Oh, well, my God.
So they roll this table over a toilet, open like a 3-inch valve, and all the liquid and pieces.
Why don't
pieces,
they have like a designated, like, I know they have a designated toilet. Like, when, why wouldn't there be another contraption? Like, it, just a stainless steel bowl that just...
This isn't even stainless steel. It's like a normal...
That's what I'm saying. Why wouldn't they have one?
Yeah.
That's insane to me.
And they, I'm like, really? You guys do this in a toilet? And they're like, yeah, it's the best way. Like, it just... 3-inch drain gets it straight down. I'm like, wow, cool. So
wow, cool.
It's
did you
clogged.
Not and you didn't pass out?
No.
You're seeing this old lady cut open.
Yeah, I was fine. It's weird.
You see two drops of your own blood, you're unconscious.
Yeah, I can gut a deer with no problems either, but you cut your hand and I'm out. It's weird.
Okay. That's
so then I'm
a
like,
mental disorder for
do you have any
record.
Other drains that are clogged? And they're like, well, our garbage disposal's clogged. And I'm like, garbage disposal? Do I even want to ask? And they were like, yeah, that's where the organs go. And I'm like, you seriously put all this stuff down the drain? And they're like, yeah, we don't.
Well, it's biodegradable.
Yeah.
But still,
right? And so, anyway, I start augering.
Fucking story.
I start augering, and their drain lines collapse. And so now we got to go dig it up.
Oh.
And so now we're outside digging it up, just outside their back door, and we had, like, power equipment run through the door, so we had the door open. And we had to bring in a jetter. It was so full. It was so collapsed. It was so full of stuff. We couldn't see anything on camera to, like, make a game plan. So we brought in a jetter, and one of our new guys got baptized that day because he puts the jetter in and he didn't put it very far in the line before we turned it on.
Oh, started
and so
spraying
it
back on him.
It started splattering all the, you know, blood and guts and everything back at him.
Dude, shouldn't you be wearing like a hazmat suit?
Oh, we were suited up, Tyvek suited up, but still, like, it's everywhere.
Tyvek is not hazmat. Okay.
But
Tyvek.
We're out there like laughing at him because he's covered in body parts.
He's vomiting.
Yeah. And meanwhile, the guys that are in the forensics lab cutting people open, they have like their hand on spleens and they're looking at us through the door and they're going, man, that's disgusting. I could never do that. And meanwhile, like we're in the ditch going, looking through the door of them going, man, that's disgusting. I could never do that.
Oh, you know? My God. You're all a bunch of sick fucks.
Yeah.
It's like you're plumbing in a Saw 5 movie.
But what's crazy is like all of that's perfectly allowed to go down the drain.
I'm sure in certain jurisdictions it's not, but yeah.
But like,
still,
I've plumbed several veterinarian clinics.
Those are animals.
I understand, but they still make them put a sampling port on the sewer line to where they can sample the sewage. You know what they're sampling for?
No.
Because there's dog poop going down there. The city is more concerned about dog poop in the sewer line than your spleen.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Humans carry the most disease of any other organism on the planet.
Yeah.
And they're like, it's fine.
But yeah, I want
it's
to inspect
fine.
That dog shit going down the drain. Yeah, this is weird. So.
I didn't think today I'd be grossed out. I'm actually a little grossed out.
Yeah, it was wild.
That's a first.
Like,
it was
I can
wild.
Handle
3 years.
But just hearing that, like, I did get a little queasy. I'm like, that's just,
I'm not queasy. Yeah. I'm just...
They did show some restraint. Because they had some other patients. They were like, how long are you guys going to be in here? We have some other...
A while, dog. Don't be shoving any more fucking guts down the drain.
What's funny is they were calling them patients. And I'm like, patients are alive. These people aren't alive. They're like, we have some other patients that we need to check out. But out of respect for you guys, we want to wait until you're gone. And I'm like, why? And they're like, well, they were infants.
Oh.
And so like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm
right?
out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
98-year-old woman dies like...
Yeah.
She was at the end of the runway, but an infant dies and they were at the beginning of the runway.
Yeah.
So
my father-in-law, I think I've probably said this on the show before. I think it was right when he got back from Nam. He was a grave digger for a while. And I was like, well, you know, was it weird? And this, he's like, the only part that was bad is when you had to take the small ones. I was like, oh
yeah, that would
he's
be
like,
tough.
He's like, that was pretty tough.
Yeah.
And this is from a guy who was in Nam.
Yeah.
Probably killing people. And he was like, yeah, that's tough.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow.
Imagine that lady. She's like up in heaven. And then she's like, oh, can I go back just for a couple more days? And God's like, it's too late.
Yeah.
You can't go back.
Your organs are out.
We can't.
Your soul is in the sewer now. It's clogged, though. It's still there.
Oh, my God.
And then he's just like, she called 816 Medley.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. All right. So I got a question for you, Dave.
Okay.
Have you ever?
I've taken in a lot in the first 23 minutes. Yeah. So just take it easy on me.
Have you ever made a big mistake? Big.
I'm going to need some parameters. Monetarily?
Before he incriminates himself.
Well, monetarily, personally, relationally.
Yes.
Yeah?
Of course.
So what do you do when you make a mistake?
You pardon it.
Yeah, you pardon it. you pardon Hunter Biden.
I mean, some of those mistakes I'm still holding on to and no one knows about. So those ones,
statute of limitations.
Those ones I take to the grave. But if I get caught, you got to apologize. You got to own up. You got to say, hey, I fucked this up.
So
I'm not sure where you're going with
this. That's what the topic of today's show is about. That today's show is about apologies.
Oh, okay.
Because
I was actually fairly nervous there for a second.
We all fuck up, right?
Yeah, of course.
But some of us don't know how to fix it and others do.
Some of us don't know how to own it.
Part of fixing it is owning.
Yeah. They just refuse to admit, hey, I made a mistake. I've got to own this.
Yep.
And I've got to move on.
So as we often do parallel business to sports, making mistakes in business is inevitable. You will. And if you're not making mistakes, you're not trying hard enough.
Oh, God, we talk about all the time in TW.
Yeah, yeah. You got to fail fast, right?
You're going to fail. That's what we talk about.
Yeah.
You are going to fuck some shit up. Just get on with it.
And failing and mistakes are two totally different things. You cannot make a single mistake at all and still fail, right? Making a mistake is where you did something wrong, and you may have had the purest of intentions at the time you were doing it, and then you later realized it was wrong. But the problem is most people don't know how to own it, and most people don't know how to apologize correctly. And until, like, if you have people on your team, you will never make it very far until you can master how to apologize. Because you will make mistakes and you will do things wrong that you need to apologize for. And learning how to apologize is key. So the thing that I want to compare this to is, did you watch the Texans Jacksonville game?
Oh, where what's his face got laid out?
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence.
I saw the highlight of that. Yeah, but I wouldn't watch that game.
So I'm gonna screw this guy's name up.
Did you see? That's exactly what ended Trent Green's career.
Yeah,
that same hit.
Yeah,
before that was like back then though it wasn't even a penalty.
Right. Yeah, back then it was a slide to kind of protect yourself, but now they give him a bigger buffer.
Yeah, his head snapped off the turf and he was never right again.
Yep. So Azeez Al-Shaahir. I think is
that
the guy's
right.
Like it, that's how I'm pronouncing it. I think that's how you say it. So this guy,
yeah, Trevor's going to slide, give himself up. Yep. This guy's coming in. He's just after a bang bang play. He's like right like a hair after a bang bang play.
Right. And this is why apologies are so important. If you look at this one isolated incident, this one incident only, no other plays in the game, no other plays from any other previous games, careers, or anything. One could argue that the defender, Al-Shaahir, if I'm saying that wrong, I'm just going to say it wrong the whole time.
What's his first name? Azeez. Just call him Azeez.
Okay. So one could argue that Azeez was kind of wrong place, wrong time, because Trevor Lawrence did slide kind of late.
He almost pulled like Mahomes does. He fakes like he's going to slow down and go out of bounds, but then he said he knows he's protected.
Yes.
You know what I mean? He did say it.
And Trevor Lawrence is trying to get to the first down. And so he doesn't start a slide until like the 8.5 yard line of that down.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's trying to make it to 10, but he's trying to time that slide as late as possible. And so, like, one could argue, if you just looked at that one play alone, that Azeez was kind of wrong place, wrong time. He's going for a low tackle, and it wouldn't have been bad until Lawrence slid. Like, you could kind of see that. However, I think
that whole rule just to be, like, is bullshit. Like, if you're starting to slide to give yourself, no, go hard till the end. I think the whole rule, whole everything, like this whole soft bullshit of the NFL that you can't hit fucking guys anymore.
Right.
I guess bullshit.
Yeah.
Like don't lead with your head. Okay. Don't turn yourself into a missile. Okay. Everything else, fuck it. It's football. Your guys are going to get fucked up.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. That's why I'm paying.
Right.
Because I want to see one guy get fucked up.
It's a modern day gladiator.
Yeah. Right. I miss the late 90s, early 2000s when guys were getting lit the F up.
Right. So,
but that's neither here nor there. That's just my rant of today.
So you go look at Azeez's history.
Yeah, he's dirty as fuck.
He's got a long track record.
Yeah, he's dirty.
Of late hits.
Yeah. Instigations.
Aggressives.
Yeah.
Instigations.
I wish he was on our team.
Throwing punches.
Yeah. I want a dog on my team.
I feel like it's Tom Brady when he was playing for the Buccaneers. Azeez went to sack him and grabbed him by the throat.
Slammed him down.
Like squeezing his windpipe.
I will like, choke the life out of this
jugular,
motherfucker.
Fingers on a jugular, like
I don't remember that.
Choking him out.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. He's got some other plays where he was hitting guys. You know, the white line on the side of a football field is like a yard wide.
It's 3 feet.
3 feet wide.
Yeah.
He's got an impressive.
No, it's 3 yards. I think it's 3 yards wide.
I don't know. It's wide.
Yeah.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every $10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
But he's got an impressive highlight reel of hitting guys on the other side of the white line.
Yeah, super late.
Yeah.
Like,
not even
super
like questionable.
Egregious as shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you time it up with all that, and now the guy's a really dirty player.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. He's dirty as shit.
And this is where I want to keep coming back to this. This is where apologies matter. So Aziz issued apology on Twitter.
And, oh, like an actual written up apology?
Yes.
But it doesn't carry any... I think I know where you're going. Like, it doesn't carry weight, though.
Well...
Like, if your whole
apologized wrong. He didn't do it right.
Well... Okay, continue.
So, here's his apology. Oh. What the heck?
Did porn come up on your phone?
No,
again?
I zoomed in somehow.
Of course you did.
To Trevor, I genuinely apologize to you for what ended up happening.
Yeah, that's a pretty shit apology. That's pretty bad.
That's pretty not shit. Even an apology.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Just right? Have to accept what you did. It's, for whatever I did, I'm sorry.
Right. So
yeah.
So yeah. Yeah, for whatever they say I did, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's
like,
a shit
that's
apology.
Not an apology.
But so, even if he would have come out and given a heartfelt apology now, even if it was legit, it still wouldn't carry a lot of weight.
It wouldn't carry a lot of his track record.
Well, or unless he brought up all of the things from the past. Hey, I've done all these things and realized I was wrong in all of those, and I apologize for this. I am going to set myself straight.
Yeah.
But even that, like, doesn't carry as much weight.
Did he get fired?
Right?
Well, he got suspended for three games.
Yeah, he got suspended.
He got kicked out of that game.
Yeah.
And then he'll get suspended for three games, and then I'm sure the NFL will assess a very healthy fine. I mean, keep in mind, the NFL fines Tyreek Hill for throwing up the peace sign as he's scoring a touchdown, and they fine him like $12,000.
Well, first off,
that's not hurting anybody.
That fine is bullshit.
It is.
Like, it's NFL, not like he's giving him the finger.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But yeah, the
NFL is masters of you'll never actually get your full contracted amount because we will find ways. Like, yeah. You wore the wrong socks.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean? The no fun league. Yeah. The fines are, they need to figure out a percentage fine instead of dollar amounts because
they probably do.
Well, they have to keep it low. Like, the league minimum is $375.
You think the fines are,
you know what
are,
I mean?
You think
like,
the,
and so for that guy, it, oh shit.
Right.
$12,000. Oh.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes punches a player in the head versus a league minimum guy punching a player in the head.
Yeah, they fine Patrick Mahomes $100,000. He laughs.
Yeah. And like, league minimum guy $10,000, then it probably hurts him more than it hurts Patrick Mahomes.
And he's like,
Mahomes,
oh, shit,
right?
I can't make my house payment this month. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Do you think they do it like just for conflict and get people talking about NFL?
Oh, well, no. Some of it's that. But I mean, some of it, too. Like, they do have to enforce the rules. And these guys are out there for money. There's no other reason they're out there.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, they've got to find ways to do it. It's just people talk about the questionable ones.
Yeah.
Right.
So let's not get off topic. Continue with your apology.
Before we get too far in, there are 6 steps to an apology. And if you don't do all 6 of these, you did not apologize. It's just that simple. Right.
Just giving me a straight list. Okay.
So step 1, acknowledge the offense. Clearly state what you did wrong using specific details if necessary. Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I'm sorry for whatever they say I did. You didn't acknowledge shit, right? Yeah. You're saying they said it.
Yeah.
You're still denying, right?
Yeah. Mitch, I'm sorry I got in my truck and wasn't paying attention and I backed into your brand new F-350. I am sorry. Like, that's a descriptive apology.
Yeah. I'm sorry my truck's old and the brakes didn't work very well and it hit your car.
Yeah, that's not an apology.
That's not an apology,
If it's so descriptive where it's actually an insult in the apology, that's not an apology.
No.
Right.
Sorry, Dave, you're so fat that I actually ran into your car and blah, 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 and you just suck. Sorry about that.
Yeah. I'm sorry
you couldn't afford a newer car with better brakes.
Yeah. I'm sorry that I didn't like the color of that truck and I gassed it and slammed into it a little harder than I should have.
Yeah.
That is not an apology.
So, step two, take responsibility. Avoid making excuses and say I instead of blaming others. I had a good mentor many years ago who suggested I remove the word I from my vocabulary all the time. It's never I, it's always we.
Yeah, because it makes it more important when you do say I.
Yeah.
Like
on both taking responsibility and accepting credit.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Step three, express remorse. Convey your regret and sadness for the hurt you've caused.
Yeah, and that's hard to fake.
That's hard to fake.
It is.
So we got some adders later on that we're going
to
talk about.
For amateurs, it's really hard to fake.
Yeah. Step four. This is the most common overlooked one. Validate the other person's feelings. In other words, show that you understand how your actions affected them. Okay? Now, this doesn't mean we're dancing around the whole Gen Z bullshit of feelings over facts and all that shit, right?
You're not placating to their over exaggerated feelings that are not based in fact.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Like you can validate that their opinions and their feelings matter without placating to their weakness, right? Yeah. Their victimhood.
Like, victimhood is better than weakness.
I understand why you got upset. That would make me upset too. However.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Yeah.
So that one is probably the most overlooked one.
Yeah. I'm sorry that I don't believe that you're a dude and you're actually a woman. I apologize. That's not a truthful. Never mind.
Step five.
I don't want to get into that. I'm tired of those conversations.
Step five, offer amends, right? Make amends. If possible, suggest ways to make things right. Okay. Sometimes when you fuck up, there is no way to make it right in the moment. It's too far gone. If you screw up and accidentally cause irreversible damage, there's nothing you can do to make it right. Okay.
Yeah. If you screw up a sale at work that someone else worked hard for, there's no way for you. Like if it's $100,000 sale, there's no way for you.
Yeah. The customer spent their money with somebody
else to necessarily make it right financially.
Right.
Sometimes that's just not an option.
So that's why they talk about if possible, right? Yeah. Now, sometimes it is
that's
possible.
Why I say it. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes it is possible.
Yeah. I'll give you the commission. Yeah.
If I damage something of David's, I can replace it. Right.
Yeah. That's kind of our friend rule of thumb.
Yeah.
Can I borrow your truck? Sure.
Yeah.
You
buy it.
Yeah. You fix it.
Oh, it's like the apology.
You heard it, fix it, and we're good.
Yeah.
It's also like an apology is course correcting. Last
step is commit to change. Promise to the person that you've hurt that you will learn from this mistake and you will avoid repeating similar behaviors in the future.
You will try to avoid similar behaviors in the future.
Yeah. Well, you
some
have
of
to,
us are just bad people.
Well, you can't promise to try, right? Because promising to try to do better is nothing. There's no results in trying. There's only results in achieving, right? So you can
sometimes
promise
it's out
to
of
do
your,
better.
Sometimes you just make an additional mistake too.
Right.
Even though you were trying.
You can promise to do better and then make another mistake in the future. But if you promise to try, you might as well not promise at all.
Yeah.
Right. And so,
even though you're still trying. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
I had to think about that for a second.
You parallel all six of these back to this Aziz character. He's never issued apologies like these in the past.
Aziz character. You're going to have to apologize for calling him a character.
I don't know.
I would add to this too. We all agree is like, you're doing this in private. Like you're not.
Well, sometimes it's private. Sometimes it's public. I think it depends. It depends on the offense.
I was going to say, it depends on what it is.
If you've embarrassed somebody publicly, then your apology needs to be public. If you've slandered somebody publicly, then your apology needs to be public. If you've hurt somebody in private, that like your apology needs to be at the level of the hurt you caused.
Like for me, I would define it as like whoever the offense reaches. So I guess like, it's just, I mean, it's like, I could see maybe, but like if I'm apologizing to someone in public, like I didn't offend all the listeners.
You may have.
Yeah, like I'm saying like just because
like, so like
it's not
like,
by automatic.
Take this Trevor Lawrence situation.
I'm listening.
What if Trevor Lawrence never regained consciousness and passed away? Right? Mm-hmm. The offense that Aziz did doesn't change anything that he did, right? But if Trevor Lawrence fell in just some magical way, or his anatomy is set up in some magical way, mm-hmm. where he went Damar Hamlin, right? That magical millisecond where you take that big hit and your heart stops.
Yeah, in the chest.
In the chest. Or your head snaps in just that way, like boxers have gone through this.
Yeah, there's been guys get killed in the ring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so, you know, Aziz's behavior unchanged, but the results of that, now all of America watched a guy die on national TV. Mm-hmm. So now Aziz's apology has to go much farther than just to Trevor Lawrence and his family. Yeah. It has to go to everybody that was affected by it.
Yeah, it's basically anyone who, so you're apologizing to someone who you've offended. So it's just like, so basically my rule of thumb is like you do it in private unless it's like, you know, you've offended multiple people.
Right.
I say that because there's so many like overwrought, like public apologies that don't need to be apologies. And some people, they apologize in public to show their virtue.
Yeah.
And like, I think a true character is whenever you're able to go to someone without anybody else knowing, apologizing to them.
Yeah.
When no one else knowing that you've done that.
Well, yeah. That would be if no one else knew, like if it wasn't an overblown situation.
Yeah.
Too.
So yeah. And that's where a lot of people are way too concerned about what other people think. And Austin's referenced this before on the show, where the goal is to win, not act like you're winning or look like you're winning. The goal is to actually win, right?
Yeah. The goal is to not tell anyone and then see you drive by in your Ferrari and you're like, oh, what the fuck is that guy
what'd
doing?
That guy do, right?
What'd that guy do?
But
yeah,
but,
that's the goal.
So like we had is this guy's actually a former employee. He worked with us for a very short time, but somebody sent me screenshots from his neighborhood Facebook page. We were doing some work in his neighborhood.
This recent?
Yeah. This was a couple of months ago. He took a picture of our truck in this customer's driveway and he started slandering us beyond all belief.
You got to start sending me this stuff.
I still got it.
I got nothing to do, man.
And so I could have gotten onto their neighborhood Facebook page and tried to like, you know, clear our name, or I could have done some public response and all this. And it's like,
you should have just put the hater song from Taylor Swift up.
No,
haters gonna hate.
I messaged him directly with those screenshots.
You're like, hey, dude, what the fuck,
bro? And I said, hey,
you mean to knock your ass out?
I think you already know this, but I 100% do not appreciate this. And I would expect that you'll never post anything like this ever again. I've done nothing but great things for you. Your employment with us didn't work out. And there's no reason that you need to be lying about our company.
Did they leave on bad terms?
I can't say everything that happened.
Was this the super recent one?
No, no, no.
Okay.
This one, the guy was claiming he was too sick to come to work. And the day I let him go, he was too sick to come to work that day. He was also claiming like his body's shutting down and, he can't move his arms. He's going paralyzed and all this stuff. That night, there were pictures of him partying in the Power and Light District, arms over his head, dancing like crazy. So,
and his van was like already packed up and cleaned, ready to go.
Yeah, his van was already, like when I said, I'm going to come pick up your van, he's like, I knew this was coming, just come get it.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh, so he's a piece of shit.
He's just a dirtbag. Right.
Okay.
But like, what I'm saying there is like, you don't have to go public with all of this stuff. Most people.
What did he say when you messaged him?
Oh, he said, you don't have to worry. I've already taken the post down. I'm trying to run for my HOA president, and I figured that wasn't a good look for me.
Bad apology.
Yeah, no apology.
With a bad.
He didn't apologize at all. He didn't say, I'm sorry. He said, you don't have to worry.
He thought it was an apology. Exactly. That's my point.
Right. And so.
I apologized to David before the podcast. I already got my. You know.
Yeah.
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 So the rules to an apology are major. Now, some adder things to that.
What a douche.
You have to be sincere, right? You talked about this a minute ago.
Yeah.
You can't just do this out of fakeness. Like, you have to genuinely mean it. And so sometimes that means you can't apologize right away.
Yeah.
You have to take time to process it and actually develop remorse and sincerity before you can start talking.
Yeah, especially if it's a situation like you were mad at the time.
Yeah.
Because you feel vindicated in what you said for a long time.
Right.
Even if you did hurt him. You know, I will say this. Don't apologize to me if you're not actually sorry.
Exactly. You know, I hate a false apology.
If you're not actually sorry, I don't want to fucking hear it.
Right.
I don't want no fake bullshit. That's just like putting salt in the wound.
Right.
You know?
Other points to remember, listen actively, right? Don't just talk to be heard, like talk to understand and listen to understand. Don't just listen to reply.
All right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information into one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is Field Pulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using Field Pulse. So if you'd like to check out Field Pulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this show.
Well, speak so that the other person understands what you're saying.
Right. And then don't expect immediate forgiveness. Right? Just like it took you a little bit to apologize, it may take them a little bit to come around and forgive.
Don't expect any forgiveness.
Right. They may never forgive you.
Yeah. They may never forgive you.
Right.
Like just, and if you think, oh man, it doesn't matter if I apologize or this or that or blah, 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 they're not going to forgive me anyway. That means you should probably seriously apologize.
Yeah.
Because you seriously hurt them.
Let's say Trevor Lawrence's career is forever altered.
He's young. He'll be okay.
I think he could be.
Yeah.
Let's just say it is forever altered. Yeah. It doesn't matter how much Aziz apologizes.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence may never forgive him. Ruined his career.
Yeah.
You know? And although Trevor Lawrence plays for a horrible team, he's not a horrible QB. He's not the best.
He's not horrible.
He's got years.
I think if he was in the right spot, he'd be better.
Yeah.
Jacksonville's a fucking shit show.
And then the one thing, again, this is the most overlooked thing, is people try to minimize the situation when they're apologizing.
Well, they're usually because they've rushed their apology and not have really thought about it.
It's not sincere.
Yeah.
Or they're downplaying the severity of the issue or whatever.
Or they're not really sorry. Usually it's they're not really sorry.
Yeah. So
I don't apologize nearly as much as I probably should anymore, because a lot of times I'm just not sorry. It could be a serious character flaw with me, but sometimes I'm just like, no.
Well, it's hard because everyone's so easily offended. You're like, was that an actual offense? Or like, how do you gauge that? Like, okay, like you say I offended you, but like, you're really just kind of being too sensitive.
And people that are too sensitive, that doesn't mean you didn't actually hurt them.
Right. So here's ways to learn where an apology is actually warranted. Was it in violation of your personal core values or your company's core values? Because chances are your core values are strong enough that if it didn't violate those, then that person is unjustly offended.
Okay. Yeah.
Prime example. We had a customer call us up yesterday, schedule a visit for today. A former employee of ours went, and this employee doesn't get high praise, but also doesn't get complaints. So even though he's a former employee of ours, this was still a very out of characteristic claim for a customer to make.
Okay.
This customer,
flag one, yeah, right? Bing.
This customer claimed that he installed a water heater 6 months ago, and another plumber has come in and said that this water heater would not pass inspection 17 ways from Sunday and all this shit. And the other plumber that this person had to their house was trying to use scare tactics to put us down to make themselves look better.
To make another sale.
Okay. Yeah. So they found one joint in the flue. Flues are required to have 3 screws for every connection on single wall flue. They found one joint in the flue that had 2 screws and not 3.
Who gives a shit?
And they convinced this lady that without that 3rd screw, the flue could fall apart and she could die of carbon monoxide poisoning.
God, that guy was a Democrat.
Yeah.
Using those scare tactics. We need more money.
They tried claiming that the flue should be B-vent instead of single wall, which it absolutely does not have to be. And then this particular plumber of ours He liked to install expansion tanks using a brass T, a short nipple, a brass 90, and then thread the expansion tank right onto that.
Okay.
Okay. Very supportive way to do it.
Yeah.
Technically,
they're supposed to be strapped.
Technically, it is against code if you really get super finite. The rule in the code is that the expansion tank can't be supported solely by the piping. Okay. That's all the rule is. You could literally prop a pencil underneath that thing, and it's not solely supported by the piping.
Or throw another brass T in there that's got a nipple and a cap.
Like a dead leg.
Inverted and dead leg. I've seen guys do that.
So, like,
you know what's funny? The one in my house is a T in the ceiling, inverted down with a ball valve, and then it's just hanging there. Yeah. So, technically, I am
solely supported by the piping, right?
Fuck yeah.
So, the reason that rule came about is because guys were cantilevering these things out like a foot horizontal.
Yeah.
And if the expansion tank cavitates, it's holding like 16 pounds of water.
And even if it was 3/4 copper, it was still...
It's still going to bend the copper and break, right?
Yeah.
And so, this installation absolutely would not have had that happen to it and all that.
Brass ain't going to snap like that.
But this lady is just... You know, she's lighting us up on the phone. Oh, I am so offended. You guys, I could have died and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, let's see. Was that installation out of line of our core values? No, it was not. Right?
Yeah.
It was a very good, very durable installation.
Probably real clean too. Looked real good.
Our apology to her is kind of different because... We didn't genuinely, like, our apology to her was more of corporate apology than an actual sincere apology.
Yeah.
And what it's crazy because, like, we're put into a position to apologize for violations we didn't even commit.
Did you go back out there?
So we went back out there.
Did you put a screw in and go quit being a crazy?
We put a quick piece of strap iron under the expansion tank up to the joist.
Yeah, okay.
And, you know, talked her off the ledge. And basically what we told her was this is a classic case of another plumbing company trying to get a leg up by putting other plumbing companies down.
Yeah.
And
big city plumbing is like that too.
Yeah.
Like,
and so we were able to reference, like, she would not say who the other company was.
It was probably her nephew.
Who knows? But we were able to reference our Google reviews and our Google rating and the number of Google reviews we have in the short time in business and everything else. And we were able to like build back the trust of like, look, this is more of a them problem than an us problem.
Yeah.
Right.
He missed a screw. Get over it.
Yeah. And so
it ain't collapsing.
You know, that one's
get over it.
That one's kind of different, right?
Yeah.
But like we all have relationships. Some of us are married. Some of us have girlfriends. Some of us have employees. Some of us have kids.
Someone's got 3 girlfriends.
If you're lucky.
Yeah.
Right.
I wasn't talking about me.
Oh, OK.
I was talking about guys that listen to the show. But whatever. Did you see him trying to count?
Yeah.
He took his sock off.
No, I'm just thinking because like
Harry the 2.
Trying to think, you have some of those guys in history. They'll have, you know, like a Napoleon, Kangaskhan.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you see that where there's like a stat where it says like there's a certain percentage of everyone in that area that has DNA leading back to Kangaskhan.
Oh yeah, he was wrecking ass. he was in and out.
Good for
him. That's putting it mildly. Like when he says that
with your life,
like
I thought he was trying to decide like, oh, is that a girlfriend or is that just a.
No, because outside of America, you have, you know, something that's not monogamous and you have people doing all kinds of wild stuff.
But ultimately, where it comes down to
for another day
is we all have relationships with people and apologies are a part of that. And we all make mistakes, especially if we're trying as hard as we can.
Yeah.
Right. The person who never makes a mistake is the person who never accomplishes anything. And so, like, we're going to make mistakes. And therefore, we need to know how to apologize. And this, we're not giving you these 6 reasons or 6 steps to an apology so that you can fake your way through it. We're giving you these 6 steps of an apology so that you know how to do it properly and you can actually maintain and build these relationships afterwards, right? Because, like, if I scorn you in some way,
okay,
and I make you mad and I apologize wrongly, our friendship could be over, right?
Yeah. It depends on the offense, but yeah.
If I scorn you in some way and I'm genuine and I'm sincere and I apologize correctly and I do all of those 6 steps and I validate it and I don't make excuses.
Yeah.
And I show empathy and I understand how it hurt you.
I forgive my buddy every time.
You forgive. And now most likely our relationship is actually stronger later.
Yep.
Right. So that's the importance of apologizing. And you got to keep in mind, too, there are people listening to this show that have never offered a real good apology, and that's fine. We all go through this.
Yeah.
Kids especially. Kids
kids are the worst.
Kids are the worst.
Sorry, Dad.
Say I'm sorry. Like, we do this.
I get the sorry, Dad, and the walk away.
Right.
Babe, come on.
We do this wrong as parents. Yeah. Tell them you're sorry. You're not telling them to be empathetic. You're not telling them, you know what I mean?
We don't teach
our kids how to apologize right.
Because to be honest, we don't. It's one of those hard moments as a parent, like, okay, I have to sit down here and tell them they're wrong and tell them why and hope to God that they understand what I'm talking about in their little undeveloped brain.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things as a parent, you have to do it 8 times.
Oh, 80.
Well, I got a girl and she's easy.
Yeah.
So you're probably right. Boys are probably tougher. Like, look, dude, hey.
So one of the,
come on.
One of the classics as kids is, like, our kids would be playing with other kids and somebody would steal their toy. And our kids would come up and, you know, oh, Johnny stole my toy. And the default for most parents is to go over to Johnny and take the toy back and tell him that was wrong and make him apologize to your kid and all this.
I was such a bad parent. My
response is always, well, life's not fair.
Yeah.
He took it from you.
Mine was go over there and grab it and push him down. Like, that was my response to Leo. Go take it back.
Well, I mean, I didn't.
That
like,
was
we,
bad parenting,
we
probably.
We stopped before the instigating of.
Oh, no, I instigated the shit out of it. I was like, no, go over there and take back what's yours.
We didn't say retaliate.
It's probably bad.
I mean, we probably could have. We never suggested the retaliate, but we were always like, tough shit.
I feel bad all of a sudden.
And we do the same with school. Like, if our kids get in trouble at school for something, they know that very few offenses that they can get in trouble for at school will they get in trouble for at home. So I don't know if we talked about this on the podcast. Did I tell you about the incident at school before parent-teacher conferences this year with youngest?
Grant?
With
Grant? Yeah. We talked about it.
Did we talk about it on the show?
Yes.
With just the ketchup on the ceiling?
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Whoa. Oh, yeah. In the lunchroom. Yeah.
Some kid dared him to slip on a banana peel and he did. And he flipped his lunch tray and ketchup went on the ceiling. And he got like 3 days of lunch detention.
Yeah.
He had to eat lunch in the office and that was it.
Yeah.
And so he comes like
awful. You sit there with all those fucking old people like, oh.
And so he comes home and he was like, Dad, parent teacher conferences are next week. And my principal said that if you show up, he's going to talk to you about this. So I need you to be disappointed in me. Right.
Because
my kids also understand that the schools don't quite jive with our delineation there. Right.
I don't know if I should unpack the fact that the kids are intentionally making it seem worse than it is.
Yeah, maybe.
To get out of a little more trouble. Like, that's another topic for another day. I will say this, more power to him. Like, you got to work the system, you know, like start out young.
Well,
you know?
In our reasoning for parenting
that sympathy,
way,
you know,
like obviously if the kid's doing something that's going to harm other people, if our kid's bullying or if our kid's,
you're talking extenuating circumstances,
right.
the top 10%, not the everyday. This is what happens when you got kids.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You're not talking him going in there and punching some kid in the mouth and and then going over to his girlfriend and kissing her in front of him and then punching him again.
Yeah. I'll get to the next incident here in a minute, but like on this one,
more than one. Okay.
Yeah. So on this one, like Grant knows that this is just a simple school thing. It doesn't relate to home. And so like he knows how he has to have me address it. Right.
Yeah.
Now,
just so funny.
2 weeks ago, we get a letter from one of his teachers.
Like a printed letter and
email.
Okay.
And the title of the email is Grant's Behavior. Right. And so it's like, oh, great. What's up? And so,
that was a Vic Smedley comment. Okay. What's up?
So the email is basically talking about how Grant's kind of disruptive in class and he talks a lot and he's keeping the other kids from doing the homework and all this stuff. And I'm saying in the back of my head, as I'm reading this,
I have to verify if this is actually true.
Well, no, in the back of my head, I'm like, look, teacher, this is your job. Like he's under your control when he's there.
They're looking for help, man.
I understand they're looking for help, but like, for the same reasons that I'm not going to email the teacher and be like, hey, Grant was caught on an electronic device after bedtime, so I need you to have a talk with him at school about the importance of putting the screen down something that happened at home.
I get all that. The reason I will back the teacher in this instance is because it's not like when we were kids. Like, you could literally almost have your ass beat at school, and parents didn't give a shit.
Right.
Now they have to deal with, well...
parents that think you overpunished.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, like, if she would have walked up to Grant and been and like whipped his ass and sat him down and been like, don't be doing that shit, you'd probably be like, okay, you had it coming, dude.
Yeah. 100%. Now, most parents wouldn't.
But 99% don't, so they got to send that email, is my point. And like, I bet you they'd rather pull a belt out and whip that kid's fucking ass than send those emails.
Well, so...
I would.
So, Danielle...
Like, let me show this kid what the fuck is up.
Danielle, like, Grant came home, and we talked to him about it, and our kids know that...
he is a good little manipulator, probably.
No, he's pretty good. I mean, all kids are really good at manipulating, but...
Yeah, they are. That's what I'm saying.
No, like, we talked to him about it, and he knows he's not in trouble. So once you know you're not in trouble, you can be really transparent with things,
it's easier
right?
to tell the truth, yeah.
You're not trying to defend yourself. He knows he's not in trouble, and so we're talking to him about it. And through the conversation, we thought he was in all honors classes. And this is the one class he's in that's not honors class. And keep in mind, this is my kid...
So he's bored.
Yes.
Yeah, he's bored now.
So this is my kid that should have been in the gifted program, but the day to test for the gifted program was the summer after the COVID year where everybody came home for spring break and never went back to school.
Oh, yeah.
And so
you weren't teaching him at home.
He was at like the educational rock bottom at the time he needed to go test for the gifted program, and he barely missed the cutoff, right?
Retest, man.
Well, it's too late now.
No, I'm saying at the time. Give him a month. Let's come on, fire that brain back up.
So we email the teacher back and we tell her flat out, like up front, he's not in trouble at home for this, and we won't be talking to him about this at home. And this doesn't mean we don't support you. In fact, it means you have our 100% support. You will never hear us complain.
Mail that bitch a belt.
Yeah. I said, you will never hear us complain about how you handle punishment of our kid. Eventually, this kid's going to have to go get a job, and his boss is going to punish him for doing something wrong, and you're not going to see me calling the boss and complaining.
Yeah.
Eventually, this kid's going to have...
My baby deserves a raise, and he's 3 weeks of paid vacation. You're fired, Grant.
Yeah.
Like, that's what happened.
Eventually, he's going to have a wife or a girlfriend, and he's going to have to learn how to manage that on his own, and we can't step in on that, right? And so, believe it or not, when we send the parents or teachers or principals these kinds of messages, they really appreciate it. They love it.
Yeah, because they feel like they're free.
Yes. Yes.
Validated.
Yeah, that's why she sent the email in the first place.
And so we summarize the email by saying most of the time whenever Grant acts this way, it's because he's usually way done with his work, way faster than anybody
else,
unengaged. And he's bored.
He's unengaged.
To which she replies, yes, he got done with his work fast. And then I gave him an assignment to help four other kids get done with their work, and he got their work done with them as well, and he still had time on his hands, and this is where the behavior
happened.
Maybe
we should move him to a different class.
So,
hello.
At semester, he'll be moving up to advanced class there. But it's a really interesting thing, because it's like nobody's done anything to offend anybody, so there's really no apologies needed. Right. It's just extra communication.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, challenge him harder.
Yeah.
Like the kids got like straight A's.
People want to, like most parents get that email, right? They immediately are like, I hate that teacher. She's this and she's that and this and that and that. Rah, rah, rah. It's because they put their own pride out front.
Right.
And they're like, my baby's the best and this and that and blah, blah. No. Suck that information in.
Yep.
Be a parent. Be like, okay, what is actually going on here? And communicate with someone.
So another...
It's just crazy.
Just like what you were saying.
Gotta communicate, man.
So Grant's in band. Grant's really good at math. And if you're good at math, you're typically have the potential to be good at music.
Yeah.
Because music is math.
Layla's the same way.
Right? So
I suck at math, and I am really good at music.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
Yeah.
It's me too.
So... Grant is in percussion, and he's really good.
Never mind.
Okay. And so, and Grant comes home all the time, and he talks about how he's like, I'm not humble bragging. I'm like the best in my class. Like, so he's trying to make the distinction of like, he's just recognizing it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, then I was talking to him because I have this dream.
Are we talking about band?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I have this dream. This hope, this wish that Grant will play quads in high school. And it's, I don't know why, I've always been fascinated. Remember Kyle Snyder from high school?
Yeah.
Kyle played quads.
Yeah. Quads are the C plus of the people that couldn't make it in jazz band as the drummer.
Maybe. But
if he's the best, he's not going to play quads. He may play quads, but he's going to play jazz band.
Hopefully.
You know what he's getting for Christmas from me, don't you?
Maybe. That's yeah, not good. But
get that kid a fucking drum set.
So he had a band concert last night, and he didn't really say much about the concert, which is kind of weird. Because, like, he's been telling us he hasn't liked his band teacher.
Oh.
And
band teachers are usually dicks.
Well.
Because instead of a class of 12, it's 60 fucking kids.
And most of them suck.
And those teachers are on edge.
Yeah. So this will give you kind of a window into Grant's brain.
Not to mention they're super gifted individuals and this is their life now.
Yeah.
Like I feel bad for him. I really do.
No, right. And so I had already had the conversation with Grant. I'm like, Grant, this is band is one of the things that you excel at. And this is the one teacher you don't like. Are you sure you don't like him because he's actually challenging you?
Oh,
and Grant's like, well, maybe. Right.
Snap.
So he's coming around a little bit. So we have this concert last night. They only play three songs. Like it's,
yeah, I know.
It's seventh grade band.
I know. Layla plays violin. Yes. Yeah. I know.
They play three songs. The first song.
No drums.
Was all drum. Like, I won't say all drums. I mean, it was the whole band. But like,
drums. Is it band or is it orchestra?
Band.
Okay. It's band. It's horned instruments and drums.
Yes.
Okay.
And
for those of you that don't know the distinction, yeah, uneducated turds.
and so Grant is on a snare drum. He's the only one on a snare drum.
He's only playing the beat.
And
that's it. The poor kid's got only a snare drum.
He's carrying the tempo for the whole thing and everything.
Got to play on the one every time.
It's pretty advanced snare drumming for seventh grade.
Okay.
And he did amazingly well. And this isn't just me talking about my own kid. Like, Danielle and I are looking at each other like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, he really is good. The eighth grade band played after them.
Yeah.
And Grant was... Like, again, I'm not placating to my own
maybe
kid.
They didn't have a...
They...
Don't have someone in eighth grade that
they
can
didn't have a good drummer in eighth grade.
Yeah.
Right?
It happens.
And so we get all done, and we let Grant help and pick up the chairs and do the things, and so we just kind of sit in the stands, and then he comes up there, and now Grant's got a shitty grin on his face. Because now we've actually heard it.
Yeah.
We never got to hear
it. And he's like, what's up, bitches?
And he was like, so what do you think? And Danielle and I are like, dude, that was awesome. Like that first song was because the other songs they have to kind of rotate in the percussion side of things.
Yeah.
So the other side, like one of the songs he was playing like a bass drum and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the snare drum, like he really carried it on that one. And I told him, I'm like, you kind of carried that song. And he's like, I carried the whole thing. He was like, I'm the best percussionist in band. And and he was like, I know you're going to tell me not to humble brag, but I'm not humble bragging. I'm just being honest.
I love it.
And he was like, they actually made that song more difficult once they put me as the snare drum because they knew I could handle some of the more advanced stuff.
Yeah. Do you know that? I'm sure you do. But like in, you know, fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, I think all the way up until like either 11th or 12th. Like if you pick a song, there are like five different variations of it that you can pick from.
Yep.
You know, like this is emphasized in the horn section or this is emphasized in the drum or whatever. So they can, you know, they can have the same song and then pick different versions of it.
Well, and then to get into like a window of Grant was like, I wish they would have let me play the snare drum on that last song because the kid they had playing that was like one of the worst kids in class and it made it ruined the song. And we could tell. Like, it was off.
Well, was he driving the bass, though, and they needed the bass to perform?
I don't know. Like, the snare kind of carries it. It just sounds louder than the rest.
Yeah.
It's more prominent. But
said the non-musician.
Okay, right.
Continue.
Right. But
I'm just kidding.
So Grant's able to point out. He was like, did you notice in the fifth measure he started four beats early? And, like, I mean, he's got it all broken down to the math of the music mistake the other kid made.
Yeah.
And Grant's recognizing those mistakes while playing his instrument.
Yeah.
And it's just a window into, like, how challenged he needs to be in order to, like, be happy.
Yeah.
So
that's a real difficult situation for you.
Oh, it's real difficult.
No, I mean, dude, it's only starting.
I know.
Like, you're going to have to... Oh man, I don't want to get into a whole parenting thing with you here, but like if he's not engaged in a bunch of after school activities that challenge him, he's going to be troubled.
Yeah.
Which means Mitch has to like be doing a bunch of shit he don't want to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, we've already recognized he doesn't do well in team sports. Although now he's wanting to go out next year.
Which probably makes him a great musician.
Right.
You know?
So, like, he went and did cross country and came in first in that.
I'm buying him a fucking drum set.
But now he's wanting to do football next year, so we'll see how that works. So,
cocktail kit.
But, like, even, like, to get back to this apology conversation, there's still rough conversations that you need to have with people where apologies aren't necessary. So when we were talking with his teacher, that's a difficult conversation to say, like, I don't care that he's troubling you. That's an issue. That's not an ish me. But in our experience, here's what we've found is he behaves this way when he's not challenged. So please challenge him. Also, please don't think that we're ever going to come down. Like, unless you break the law.
Yeah.
Like, we're never going to come down. Like,
and that's even a gray
area. Right. If
if he
was distracting and you put him in school suspension for 3 days.
Okay.
I'm going to be like, Grant, you broke the rules. Those are their rules. They get to enforce them how they want. Like, you're never going to see me be like, get my kid out of ISS. Like, you earned it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, I always just forged my dad's signature. And then he didn't even know I was in ISS.
I would say that.
He had no fucking clue. To this day, I've literally told
him. Technology is a great thing because there's no way to
there's no way around it now. Yeah. Like, back in the day, my dad didn't have any. I used to skip school just because I overslept. And then get up and call the school and say, hey, my son David's not going to be in here today. Like, there was no, like, he's not tracking me on my phone. He doesn't know where I'm at.
Shoot,
like,
now they'll digitally do the attendance.
Yeah.
And if Grant's or any kid stays home sick, then we'll get like a notification within 10 minutes of the start of school that your kid's not absent.
Yeah. And you haven't, crazy. And you haven't called.
Yeah.
I would say on the apology thing.
Because Danielle's still sleeping too.
Like, if it's a, from my experience, if it's a genuine apology, it never feels convenient. It's always like, I feel like for a good apology, it should feel inconvenient. And just because of the nature of like, you know, it's kind of against human nature to like, be like, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And so like sometimes not sounding haughty, but I feel like the apologies that I feel like go a long way are the ones where it's like, they're not convenient. They don't flow with the social environment. I think
your first few are definitely going to feel inconvenient.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That's an age thing too. That's
right.
I shouldn't say age. That's an age and experience thing. If you're genuinely a good person, like I'm pointing at Austin for those that aren't watching,
right.
Like you're not hurting people enough where apologizing is a regular occurrence for you. Mm-hmm. And it should make you uncomfortable. I have to admit that I was wrong here.
Well, it's kind of like, it's kind of, if you want to know if you're normal, like, and you feel guilty or you feel like you should have, like, when you apologize or feel embarrassed, like, oh, good. That means you're like a normal human being. Like,
Like, to your point, exactly. Like, I used to be really nervous confronting people when I had wronged them or I knew I had screwed up. Right.
Right.
But now I see it as a strength. Right.
Right.
So, but that's I'm older. I'm more experienced. I've fucked up enough that I had to do it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's easier now recognize my faults. But you're right. When you're younger and you're just, you know, you don't screw up a lot. And all, those first times will really tell you if it's a genuine apology is needed. Because like you said, you do feel bad.
Right.
Yeah, I guess,
you know, you feel guilty. You're like, oh, man,
I guess for me, it's not like
screwed this up.
Like, I don't have a problem in, like, the feeling bad compartment. It takes a lot to go against, like, say we're in a podcast. Like, it takes a lot for me to, like, take the time, be convenient, and say, hey, can I talk to you outside? Like, actually, you're separating the person from the social environment. And typically, that actually is good, like, grounds for, like, if you want to, like, a really good apology, like, separate them from whatever social environment they're in.
You're talking about us. It was a few months ago. We had a little talk.
And the thing is, I apologize, and you were like, what for? Like,
yeah.
Because usually I have a guilty, I always have a guilty conscience.
But I understood.
Like, I have a guilty conscience now because I'm like,
you had it for like 6 months.
Well, I mean, like, even just now before the podcast is like, to me, I fight the opposite way. Like, for me, like, I feel bad for like waking you up with a text. I'm sorry.
Oh, dude, I was just messing with you.
So, like, that's for me, I'm the opposite.
Seriously, if you text me at 11 o'clock again, I'm going to kill you.
See, this is where this is where my change comes in. Okay, I only text you at this certain time.
Have a scheduling feature
after you did tell me that
well,
it's a group it was a group
yeah,
I yeah you gotta be the
you
fucking
still schedule in a group
you gotta be a fucking the one weirdo with an Android
well
it's on you
Well, no, iPhone has a feature for other iPhones. I think it's just because it was Android and iPhone mixed. Because I double checked, and I'm like, man, I want to be able to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
it's okay, man.
God, sorry, Dave.
It's okay, man. Really, it's okay. It's
but yeah,
okay.
That stuff, I think maybe a little bit, that's just my personality.
Yeah, you
but
take stuff pretty hard, too.
I think that does let the apology land well. I guess if you want to, if you're a person who's struggling with making apologies, that really helps set the ground. Is if you're at a party, like, have someone, like, you know, don't just in passing, hey, man, I'm sorry, as you're like hanging out with them.
No, you pull them to the side and you make a real apology.
Yeah. If you have a team of people, there are times where apologizing to the person in front of the team will go farther than apologizing to the person in private.
Mm-hmm. Well, there. Yes.
So in other words, if the team might be aware of the problem, then it would probably be best to apologize to that person in front of the entire team.
If
the team is not aware of the problem,
right? Yeah.
Then you would apologize in private.
Because it's almost kind of like if you're apologizing in front of a team, it kind of also means that there may be some other people may be kind of butthurt about something that's kind of a collective thing, but you're talking about one person.
We can break that down a little bit. I always found it better, regardless of who knew or who didn't know, if I was the sacrificial lamb as the boss,
mm-hmm.
to apologize, even if people didn't know about it. If people didn't know about it, I think it carried more weight.
Yeah.
To say, I screwed up here. I hurt Johnny's feelings.
Yeah.
I made the mistake.
This guy's apologizing and I didn't even know he did anything wrong.
I'm apologizing in front of everyone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, if it's a thing where there was a hard butt hurt situation with someone and they said something that was, they probably need to apologize to you also. Like if it's a joint apology, both of you need to hash it out and figure it out. You don't do that in front of everyone at work.
Well,
you pull them aside and say, hey man, I know that this happened and I want to be the first to say I handled it poorly.
Right.
And I'm sorry.
Right.
That person's probably going to also say,
I'm sorry too.
You're right. I'm sorry too, man. I didn't know how to handle it. But as the manager, you going to them first and being the first outstretched hand of I'm sorry.
Yep.
Like, first off, that's what you need to be doing. But you don't take those situations in front of the group.
Right.
You know what I mean? You don't do those at breakfast on Wednesday mornings.
And that's another good thing that you brought up. If there is a mutual apology that needs to go both ways and somebody comes to you first, and you're not ready to apologize to them, don't. Like, I'm not saying snub them, and I'm not saying don't accept their apology, but sincerity is one of the more important things in an apology. So it's a lack of sincerity that if they apologize to you and you're like, yeah, I'm sorry too, right? It's perfectly okay to say, thanks for apologizing to me. I'm still trying to process everything that I did wrong, and I can't apologize to you until I understand what I did wrong and what I need to do right. And so I'll apologize when the time is right. I'm not ready yet. Like, that's perfectly okay to say. Or you just say thanks for theirs and you don't apologize yet. And then once you've come around to that the next day or next week or whatever, now that you're ready to be sincere, now you can return the favor and apologize to them.
Yeah. And I will say, like, in that, well, let's just talk about that specific situation. When someone comes to you and is the first one to apologize in a situation where both of you were probably wrong in one way or the other, you can tell immediately if they're sincere,
mm-hmm.
right? If they're not sincere, don't apologize at all and don't even fucking think about it.
Right.
Because, I mean, they're just doing it to get the upper hand.
Yeah.
And that's worse than not apologizing to you at all. Now, if they are, for me personally, like my empathy and my thinking prowess, like I can read people really well.
Right.
If Mitch comes to me and him and I have had an argument and I am not sure I'm sorry, but I feel and I know that he is sorry and he's like, hey, this and that, I will know immediately right then. Man, he's right. He came to me. I was wrong. I knew what I did wrong.
Right.
You know, it's easy for me to apologize right then and say, you know what, man, you are right.
Right.
For me,
there's not a lot of overthinkers like you, Mitch.
Well,
I don't mean this in a bad way.
No, right.
Not at all.
Yeah.
I think that's a, if you're not an emotional person or empathetic or really well at reading people, that response is perfect.
Yeah.
Like, hey, thank you.
Well, and as we've given you these six steps, don't expect these six steps from other people. Apologies are one-sided and forgiveness is one-sided. Right. Yeah. So yeah. I can't demand you apologize to me in a certain way.
Yeah.
All I can do in that situation is I can offer forgiveness to you when I'm ready to forgive you. Right. And all I can tell you in that case is the sooner you can forgive somebody, the better. Forgiveness is all about the victim is the one who forgives. The aggressor is the one who apologizes. Right. Now, sometimes we're both victims and we're both aggressors. But like, I can't expect my guys or my wife or my kids or any of my friends apologize to me and hit all these six steps. For all I know, they don't even know the six steps, right?
I didn't know the six
you
steps.
Just have to
I just apologized that way, right. Mostly.
Assume they're being
yeah.
genuine or something. Because, I mean, it would be really snotty to be like, well, you didn't hit step five out of six, so.
Well, the most important of them is being genuine. Like, well, you know what I mean?
I'm going to say the most important attribute is being genuine. The most important step of the apology has nothing to do with the words you say. It's the actions you take after the fact, right?
Yeah, that's true.
An apology is just words, but a true apology is changed behavior from there forward.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean perfect behavior, right? If I'm a drug addict and my spouse is upset that I'm using drugs, but understanding that I'm an addict, right? So there's a little bit of leeway. I can apologize for sliding back and falling off the wagon, right? But the words are just the apology. What my wife would really appreciate in that scenario is changed behavior, visible steps that I'm taking to
yeah.
reduce my addiction.
Well, I had a major, you're talking psychology at this point, because, like, you know, that's an ongoing thing. Like, how many times does she accept your false apology? You know what I mean? We're getting in the weeds there.
So, like,
you get into
abusers and everything else, and they're like, baby, I'm sorry I hit you. And they know, you know, they're going to hit them next week.
Yeah.
Right.
I think about hitting you every day.
Right. So, but the apology is like, babe, I'm sorry I hit you. And then they actually see improvement. Right.
Yeah.
Now, maybe you go from hitting them every other week to hitting them once a month.
This conversation is taking a weird turn.
And I mean,
you're just using it. I know.
I got to call it like it is. But like, that is improvement. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're an enabler if you're sticking around.
You are.
I mean, let's just be fucking honest.
Yeah.
If you're sticking around for drug abuse and like giving them cash to buy food and then they're buying drugs and you've done it more than one time, you're an enabler and you're as big a part of the problem as they are.
Yeah.
Like, let's fucking be honest.
Oh, I'm not buying them drugs. No, you're just paying their house payment.
I had a...
So that they can spend their cash on drugs.
Yeah.
I had a manager at Quitcher. His response, anytime you'd apologize to him, he said, don't be sorry, just change.
Like, yeah, that's what he would say. Don't be sorry, just do better.
Just do better, yeah. He said something like, it would be like, don't do better, just fix it. You know, sorry, don't be sorry, just fix it.
Yeah, and there are lots of people that are like that. Like, I'm kind of like that. I'm
really
kind of crass, you know, like, I do accept the apology, right? You're not that way, yeah.
Well,
like, I accept the apologize, but... Like, if someone says to me, do better, I'm like, okay.
Right.
All right.
If
I tell Mitch that, hey, dude, we're fine. Like, let's get after it.
Just do better.
And Mitch looks at me and he goes, okay, let's do it.
Well,
I'm vindicating what I said.
Well, there's some instances too. Like, it's a light part of it is a QuitTrip. But QuitTrip is a very fast paced environment and you don't have time to anytime. Maybe you knock something into somebody or do something to somebody. Like, if you're taking 10 minutes to make these full apologies, like, a lot of it's just like, dude, you're cool. Like, dude, just change, like, fix it. Like, make
well,
it.
Well, those aren't real.
Yeah. Some of those are things that you don't even need to apologize for.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
so
that's
like,
just work. That's just shit happens.
There's like, take a football game, for example.
Right.
You have five guys on the line that are blocking for the QB. It's unrealistic to think all five of those guys are going to block perfectly the entire game. Right. So, you know, a 95% blocking rate is a good rate to have, right? So every time a defender 99, whatever. So every time a defender slips past and makes the quarterback have to adapt and move and everything, like, the lineman doesn't need to apologize every single time,
right?
Right?
It would take up so much time and just
right. That's just
they talk
silly.
About that shit on the sidelines. Right. Hey, dude, do better. Got it. I got you.
Like, you don't have time. Like, it's sort of, it can work against the vibe, and things are so fast paced. And even just like a quick trip, like seconds made the difference. So, you know, you're making a sandwich, you're doing this, and it's like, you don't have time to pull someone aside and like, hey, how are you feeling? I'm sorry.
Yeah, apologies are more for intentional actions than accidental actions. Now, they can still apply in accidental actions, right? If you were operating with intent. But, you know, if... there are just some things where you don't have to apologize for. It's just the nature of the beast.
Yeah.
If you're framing houses and you miss the nails 7 times while you're trying to hammer it in with your hammer, you don't have to apologize for that. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not, but now
you should.
Now, if you show up late to work 5 days in a row, do you apologize for that? But like missing a nail every now and then is part of the job.
Yeah, I think
missing a block is part of the job in football.
And if you know someone, I mean, I was this way. If you know someone who apologizes a lot, the best thing you could do for them is be like, hey, don't apologize for anything. If you offended me, I'll let you know.
Yeah.
I think that's technically like, that's how I view, like, if
funny.
Someone offends you, like, it's your duty to go to be like, hey, you did this, it offended me. So then they know to say sorry. Versus what I used to do is like, oh, I'm going to cover myself just in case.
Austin, stop saying sorry when you interrupt me. I'll let you know if I'm offended.
There you go.
Yeah, so
there
I think that's the best way is like, it kind of takes...
You're good, bro.
It helps the person who over-apologizes like me a lot, where it's like, you just tell them. So if you know, if you're listening and you know someone who does, like, that would help them to say, hey, if you offend me, I'll let you know. Like,
right.
Stop apologizing to me, Austin.
Well, some of that's just the work.
Yeah.
The work is that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you're going to have setbacks in the work. That doesn't mean anybody did anything wrong that demands an apology.
Yeah.
Right. It's bad behavior that demands an apology, not real life shit, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you could solder every connection in a house and have one solder leak. You don't need to apologize to your boss for that. You just do it. Like, your boss probably has a solder leak when he solders everything in a house. Like, it's just nature of the work. Mm-hmm. So, but if you solder everything in a house, you recognize a solder leak, you don't fix it, and then the boss has water damage to go clean up later. Right. That's worth apologizing for because that was bad behavior.
Or are you sorry just because you got caught, or you're actually sorry?
Right.
I'm mostly sorry because I got caught.
And all of this rolls back down to the core values. Like, so like one of our core values is excellence. Well, excellence is not perfection. They're two totally different things. So if you violate the core value of excellence, I'm going to have a problem. But if you're not perfect, I get that. Like, none of us are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Do we want to share the... our toughest apology we've had to make?
No.
Okay.
I can't air that on the show.
It doesn't have to be.
I can't air that on the show either.
I can't air. Yeah. Those are things. The toughest apologies are usually not in public.
Yeah.
Because you have really fucked up bad.
So for me, this isn't specifics, but I think the hardest.
So he's going to tell us anyway.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have to be like specifics, but for me, like, what's the hardest is whenever someone's wronged you and you've kind of wronged them a little bit, but you definitely want them to know that, hey, like, you did some stuff to me too, and you leave with the apology and they don't apologize. Like, that's like the hardest thing to eat up.
Well, that goes back to apologies are for you.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, apologies are for them to give to you. Forgiveness is for you to give to them.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just a human thing. Like, for me, like, I understand, like I'm Christian, but I understand, like, I have shortcomings, and that's one of mine. I think that's a human thing. It's so hard.
I'm Christian, but an eye for an eye, motherfucker.
I'm saying, like, everyone has their struggles.
I don't want to get on a whole thing about Christianity, but like the whole of everyone, like, well, I'm a Christian and I've got to take it and I've got to be nice. I am on this whole personal verb. Like, this is my voyage right now, is we're going old school biblical Christianity. And if you fuck with me, I'm going to burn your goddamn house down.
Right. Like,
I want to get back to the point of eye for an eye.
Well,
like,
no, I wasn't meaning that. What I mean is,
no,
like,
I'm completely changed subjects.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Completely different.
I didn't want to make sure this was
like this whole thing of you can walk over Christians cause they're soft. I'm leading the march of fuck off. Yeah. We'll kill you all.
Keep in mind, David still hit Goliath dead in between the eyes with a rock. Right.
He killed him with a fucking rock.
Right. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Like, stop.
Yeah.
Like, I shouldn't say hate. I don't like the, we have to be nice and kind and let everyone walk all over us before for fucking 100 years before we stand up and be like, you know what?
Right.
I'm going to get my guns. I'm going to start killing you.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I'm just,
that's one of the things that you see with the, like, Republican versus Democratic Party. The Democrats don't fight fair, and the Republicans are all trying to fight fair. And the Democrats will, like set the justice system up to pin fake charges on a Republican.
Yeah.
And the Republicans will never retaliate with equal.
And then claim righteousness because, well, it's above the law.
Yeah.
Well, you created the law to be bullshit in the first place.
Well, and you know what I mean? You appointed judges.
Yeah,
that were gonna give you the right outcome.
Oh my God, have you seen that thing? We're gonna talk about a little something else here. Did you see that thing about Elon Musk? So he's trying to get $1 billion
off of his
stock stuff. So this is what's happened. His corporation was set up in Delaware.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Joe Biden is from Delaware.
Mm-hmm.
Super liberal judges in Delaware. The stockholders voted like 70% the first time, and then 77% the second time of. He is fine taking this money. Look at what he built.
Yep.
And the judge is like, no, that's unfair.
Yep.
The people that are responsible for the money going out have said, it's fine.
Yep.
You want to talk about rigged bullshit?
Yeah, you're weaponizing the legal system.
You're weaponizing the legal system. Yep. It's fucking insane.
Yeah. Well, it's gotten to the point where Democrats are preemptively breaking the norm. Just to like get to have themselves like with the Hunter Biden thing. They're just like, we're going to break the norm and like pardon. And this is like, hasn't been a precedent and since Nixon, just to be preparing for the Republicans.
It drives me crazy, man.
I just think it's funny.
The hypocrisy drives
Hunter
me insane.
Hunter Biden is now the equivalent of a fucking Thanksgiving turkey.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to, you know what?
It's pardoned.
We had someone in the group. I don't remember who it was, but it was Dave or Mitch versus, who's the guy that owns Twitter? Not Twitter, Facebook.
Mark Zuckerberg.
Zuckerberg and somebody else. Like, we would fight him. And I had said in there, like, I think it should be a tag team of me and Mitch versus Zuckerberg, and it was somebody else. I can't remember what it was. Now I think it should be, like, me and you versus Zuckerberg and Hunter Biden. Death match.
Is Hunter Biden on crack or no? Because I don't want to fight a crackhead. They're crazy.
I'm trying to decide what I want to say. Yes, but we get to equally do whatever we want to do.
Right.
Well, back on that, like Shapiro says, he's like, Democrats will say, we're not doing it. And if we are doing it, it's good. It's like they do both ends of the cake.
Right.
It's like, well, we're not doing it. You're like, you're seeing things. We're not doing this. But also when you find out we are doing it, oh, it's for a good cause.
Well, what's funny is this is
stopwatch just changed automatically. What the hell is that about?
I don't know. I think you tapped it.
I haven't touched anything. Maybe I did. I don't know. Don't touch it. God damn it, Mitch.
Have you seen that video where it's like a guy working on the daylight savings time overnight and it goes from like 1:59, 1, it goes back.
No.
I got us
off topic. We've got to wrap this up. We're an hour and a half. I do want to say this. So TradeWinds event is going to be March 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We are going to open it up to Void listeners too.
Yep.
Okay. So do not make plans. We will be getting designated hotel rooms for anyone that wants to come in and meet Mitch or me or.
No one's going to want to meet me.
Austin might be there. Austin will be there. But don't book rooms because we'll have a link on the website hopefully in like a week and a half and have all that stuff together. But March 1st.
Anyone who does want to see me, they're just like, I just want to see if Austin looks like what I think he looks like.
look exactly like what they think you look like.
We'll probably put a link in the description to the show for tickets to the event once they're available. Yeah. So we have a date. We're polishing the final plans of agendas and everything else. And we're still lining up some speakers and everything, but we'll get there.
It's the soft out.
Yeah.
We're putting it out there. But the date will be March 1st.
March 1st in Kansas City, Missouri. So you can buy flights,
but nothing else.
So
on Friday.
Yep.
Stay Friday night. See the event on Saturday.
Fly home Sunday.
Fly home Sunday morning.
It's
going to
be like a game where people, before they see me, like draw a picture of what they think I look like. And like, I go out there.
That doesn't work though, because people can just go online and see what you look like.
Yeah.
I'm barely in a little footage on Spotify.
But you're in enough.
Yeah.
All they have to do is find you on social media. Mm-hmm. Done.
That's true.
We know what you look like.
That's true. Yeah.
That's true.
But they have to be hand-drawn. No AI shit.
Have you seen?
Yeah.
I saw a news blooper where someone like drew in like the sketch of like a purple whatever, and it just looks so awful. The news guy looks over and he's like trying to keep his cool. He's like, so this drawing here.
So you got attacked by SpongeBob. Got it.
Got it.
Bart Simpson attacked you. Sweet.
That's like the meme with three girls with yellow tongues, and then there's just SpongeBob standing in the corner.
Oh, I'm out of breath.
Yeah. We can just call that Friday night, Sponge.
Yeah.
Oh, my right. God. Wrap us up. I'm tired. I got shit to do.
If you learned how to apologize, you learned ways to accept apologies, if you learned about my kid, do us a favor. Give us a 5-star review or a thumbs up on the show. Also, keep us in mind if you have anybody else that's asking business-related questions in the trades industries, feel free to drop them a link to the show. We appreciate it. So until next week, guys, we will see you later.